Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 27th of April. This hour of the program, we're going to be talking about recycling in the state. There was some concern about what would happen to recycling programs in Wisconsin because of what was included in the budget. And the governor has changed his position on some of this, back down from some of the budget proposals to eliminate community recycling requirements after it received a great deal of criticism from municipalities and lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. Instead of eliminating the mandate in order to save money, the administration is urging municipalities to merge their garbage collection systems. Today's newspaper has said that Republican members of the legislature are looking at the recycling proposals, and they have concerns that the proposal would cut $32 million a year in aid to local governments for the recycling program while eliminating the mandate that governments must have recycling programs. So we thought we'd get an overview of all of this this hour, how the programs are working, what is the responsibility of individuals in the state, what about people who manufacture products, do they have a responsibility for helping to make sure that some of those products can be recycled or to pay for landfill or recycling of products. We're going to look at all of these issues this hour, and we have two guests with us. Jennifer Semrau is president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin and a recycling specialist for Winnebago County. Jennifer, thank you so much for sorting through all of this for us.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us is Melissa Johnson, chair of the Wisconsin County Solid Waste Management Association, treasurer of Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, and a current member of the Solid Waste Association of North America Badger Chapter, also solid waste director for Marathon County. Melissa, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's an absolute pleasure being with you this morning.
Well, I'm glad you are, because we're trying to figure out what's going on with recycling. Can you tell me where we are right now? The papers today are saying that there are members of the Republican caucus in Madison who are concerned about some elements of the recycling program, are trying to fight to make sure that communities are reimbursed. Before we talk about the what's happening right now, what are Republicans dissatisfied with and looking to change?
Well, I think what happened initially is there were several Republicans and some Democrats who came out quite vocally against the governor's proposal to eliminate the recycling mandate and also discontinue the funding for local programs, with the funding coming not from tax dollars, but again from a tipping fee charged at landfills. And they recognize that this is an important program for Wisconsin, not only environmentally, but economically as well. And so they have been working to try and find ways to balance the budget, which is their job, but also, keep this important program, ensure that there's access locally for recycling, for residents to recycle, and sort of maintain our, very proud heritage of recycling in Wisconsin. The four groups that we work with, Jennifer and I work with, we've been working with members of Joint Finance, trying to provide them with options, talking with the DNR, and, of course, our membership throughout the state.
Mm-hmm. There were a lot of municipalities. I was looking at material that a lot of municipalities were very, very upset about this, Jennifer.
Yes, that's correct. As Melissa alluded to, recycling is incredibly popular, and it's one of the services that municipalities provide to their residents that the residents really love and they, appreciate very greatly. So without the financial assistance component from the state, some of those programs would definitely be in jeopardy. Municipalities are going to have a lot of tough choices with what's coming out of the governor's budget, and if there is zero financial assistance provided to municipalities, some of them may not be able to continue to offer that service.
Mm-hmm. But as it stands now, this elimination of the mandate that governments must have recycling programs is off the table? I mean, they will have recycling programs?
Jennifer and I were in Madison on Thursday, is that right? Yes. And we met with several members of Joint Finance and the chair of the Natural Resources Committee. We met with their staff and also with one legislator We found that what they were interested in, or what was alluded to, is really trying to keep the mandate because of the importance of the program, and then look at options on continued funding for this important program to help those local governments, and then maybe look at options on how we start moving towards a more sustainable system of funding and managing recycling.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really the essence, don't you think, Jennifer?
Yes, I would agree.
And as it stands now, from what I'm reading, the funding would be there, but it would be vastly diminished. We would go to a real minimum kind of funding. How much do you need, and how much is on the table right now?
Well, the full amount that's been generated by, there's two different sources of revenue for the recycling program currently. $7 per ton is charged on each ton of solid waste that's disposed of in landfills in the state, with the exception of certain high-volume industrial byproducts. So that generates around $35 million per year that's deposited into the segregated recycling fund. Then there is a second source of funding, which is applied to businesses' gross tax receipts. And I believe that dollar amount is around $20 to $22 million that's generated annually. So the total is around $50 million with those two sources. Our focus has really been on fighting to maintain the $7 per ton to be used for recycling programs. It makes sense. It's a direct association between solid waste generation and using those funds for recycling. And so our emphasis has been maintaining that amount, which is, again, about $32 million.
Mm-hmm. And am I reading this right? The governor wanted to use that fund instead for economic development in the state?
That was the original proposal, and what are the four groups? I keep referring to the four groups, and those are Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, Council on Recycling, Solid Waste Association of North America Badger Chapter, and the Wisconsin County Solid Waste Management Association. We've been working to focus on how, you know, the governor wants to do economic development, and that's a very praiseworthy thing to do, but let's divert some of the money, or the money from the business surcharge, which Jennifer said was around $22 million, into that, and then keep this into the segregated fund, the $7 per ton, to fund recycling. I think there's ways to do both things, and that's our goal, is to try and find a way to do both things, to provide options to the legislature and to the governor's office, and ensure that the communities that we represent are provided with the funding that they were promised so that they could run their programs.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit more about this business surcharge. Are those companies that are making products that are very difficult to recycle being charged more? Do we look at that as an issue?
It is my understanding it doesn't differentiate between the types of business as far as what is manufactured. So it doesn't penalize, if you will, you know, a business that, you know, manufacture something that's difficult to recycling or anything of that nature. It's more of a flat rate. So that's not actually something that we've looked at yet.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the success of this program. I think that people feel like they're doing the right thing when they recycle, that the thought of landfills, actually, I can't imagine where all this stuff is going to go 10 years. Well, aren't we going to run out of landfills eventually? But people really feel that they're invested in this. They're thinking about the earth. They're thinking about landfills. They're thinking about doing the right thing. And it's sort of a part of our daily lives, right? We separate things and maybe we don't do enough, but most of us are involved in recycling in some way.
Recycling is probably one of the most popular things that transcends political lines, that transcend socioeconomic lines.
Interesting.
That, mm-hmm. I mean, we do it, you know, we have the children learn it at school and they come home and they chastise their parents.
Yes.
And inadvertently put something in the wrong place.
Right.
It really is a part of our culture, and we do it because we started doing it because we really wanted to save landfill space. And in fact, since 1990, Wisconsin's recycling program has saved what is about the equivalent size of five average landfills. So it is important for land use, for environment, but it's also important because we have a lot of businesses in Wisconsin who use recycled materials.
Uh-huh. How big is an average landfill?
Well, that varies. And landfills nowadays range anywhere from And I say nowadays because we, many years ago, every county had a landfill, even every, you know, township and village had a landfill. And, of course, that's changed over the years. There are now only 35 municipal solid waste landfills in the state, and they range in size anywhere from about 25 acres to 80 acres. And that's a lot of space, and you got to figure out that's not only the space, you know, so the footprint, but they can also go up as high as, you know, 20 stories. So,
20 stories, really?
Yes, yes, they can go up that high. They are some of the largest structures in the state.
Oh, my goodness. I hate to confess this, but I haven't been to a landfill. I should go to a landfill sometime. Maybe we all should.
I am a firm believer that everyone should visit a landfill to get the scope of the enormity of managing solid waste, just in, as far as land use is concerned, but also in operations and the cost. And it is a true eye-opening experience. Wouldn't you agree, Jennifer?
Absolutely, yes.
So what is it that municipalities may be able to do to save some costs in this area? Are there problems? Could cities and municipalities collaborate on their recycling programs in terms of pickup of recyclings, et cetera? Would that be helpful in lowering the costs? Is there money to be trimmed here?
There might be, you know, communities around the state that could benefit from some of those types of things. But I guess one comment I do want to make in that regard is that a lot of that has been taking place already to date. Currently, the recycling financial assistance that's provided by the state only covers, on average, between 25% and 30% of a municipality's actual costs for recycling. So there's certainly been a lot of motivation already to date to find ways to cut costs, to become more efficient. And we've seen a lot of that where communities are working together collaboratively on the recycling education or, for instance, on recycling processing. Here in Winnebago County, Winnebago, Brown, and Outagamie counties collaborated on our recycling processing and, as a result, built a single-stream recycling processing facility that's jointly owned and operated by the three counties. And so these types of things are occurring throughout the state already. So I just want to emphasize that there's certainly been motivation to try to become more efficient prior even to this budget crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing that needs to be noted with that, Kathleen, is that there are some costs that in any system that are hard to avoid or reduce, and one of those is the cost of transportation.
Right, which keeps going up.
Pardon me?
Which keeps going up. So
yes, I put fuel in the truck this morning on the way to work.
Right.
And so if you have a rural community, which Marathon County has some lovely rural areas, and the rural communities have some very good recycling programs, they still have longer distances to travel throughout their rural areas, and then they also have longer distances to travel to those recycling processing facilities like the one that Brown and Outagamie and Winnebago County built. Those things can't be changed. You can't pick our rural communities up and move them to closer to a processing facility. And processing facilities are very expensive, so you certainly aren't going to site one in every county. So there are just some things that are part of the system that remain expensive, just like a gallon of milk has the cost of fuel built into it, and it keeps going up with the cost of fuel. So.
Mm-hmm. Considering the fact that this is not really a political issue, that you, as you say, people of all political persuasions and all income levels, children, adults, are invested in this program. What would be, I'm just trying to figure out why the mandate for recycling would be called for elimination. Is this something that's happening all over the country? It doesn't even look, from your numbers here, like it would save us a whole lot of money.
Yeah, if Wisconsin were to eliminate its mandate, it would be the first state in the nation
to do so.
So it's certainly not a trend that Wisconsin would be following in any regard. My only thought on why perhaps Governor Walker put the elimination of the mandate in there is that if he was going to eliminate the funding for it, he's also indicated he doesn't want to have unfunded mandates. So by eliminating the mandate with the funding, he was able to eliminate effectively an unfunded mandate.
Can you give me an idea of what would happen in this state if recycling programs came to an end? What kind of an environmental crisis, if that's the right word, would we be facing?
Well, I don't like to use the word crisis because it's just, I think it's overly used. I think we'd have a situation where a couple of things would happen, and we see this in the rural areas a lot, and it's an unfortunate phenomena, that people who can't have convenient or effective means of disposing of their trash or recyclables will tend to do what is politely referred to as ditch dumping. And
So
I think we'll see an increase in ditch dumping because people will not have access to services. There could be an increase in burning of waste, which is, of course, bad for the environment, bad locally for those folks living around a burning barrel trying to, you know, recover from asthma attacks or emphysema. And then the other thing is that there will be an increase to tonnage going into landfills. And we've worked very hard, extremely hard, everyone, to try and minimize what we're sending to landfills so we can save the space for those things that we really need to send there.
Right. Let's welcome phone calls. We have many of them. We're talking about recycling in the state of Wisconsin, what legislators are looking at in the budget, the changes they are making to the governor's budget, the recycling program as it exists and as our guests would like for it to be. We have yet to get to that part of the conversation. Jennifer Semerow is president of Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin and a recycling specialist for Winnebago County. Melissa Johnson is chair of the Wisconsin County's Solid Waste Management Association, and she is a solid waste director for Marathon County. She has other titles as well. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. The email address, talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We start our phone calls with Ralph from Little Suamico. Hi, Ralph.
Yes, good morning, Kathleen, and your guests. I just had a question. Seems like it never quite gets to money on some of these things. And, you know, initially when recycling started, it was hyped as a break-even kind of thing, like they would make enough money off of the recycled goods. For example, right now, aluminum is 72 cents a pound, and that would pay for the program. Now, all of a sudden, it's $140 million per year for recycling. So something happened in between there, and I'm wondering if there's an audit available that shows where this money is going.
Jennifer, you want to start?
Sure. As far as the audit component of the question, all of the recycling programs in the state of Wisconsin are required to submit an annual report to the Department of Natural Resources. So I guess that would be the closest thing that would be available to a financial statement of the recycling program in the state. There have also been some papers that have been produced by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau that looks at how the state allocates money for recycling in the form of both grants, the financial assistance to the communities, as well as staffing and those types of things. So those could be a couple of resources for you to look at. Further, the Department of Natural Resources is required to physically audit and visit 5% of recycling programs each year, which I realize is not a large percentage, but there's some of those things that are going on to monitor how the recycling is working in the state. And perhaps on the first component of your question, I would allow Melissa to answer.
Sure. And that's a great question, Ralph, and it's frequently asked. And there are several components to a recycling system. The first component, of course, is the consumer buys something that needs to be recycled. Actually, the first component is a product is manufactured. The consumer uses it up, let's say it's a milk jug, and places it out for recycling. A hauler then comes to your curb, picks it up, and takes it to a recycling processing facility. Processing facility sorts it, puts it in a big bale, sends it on a truck to the plastic manufacturer who might make it into another plastic jug. The sale of the materials at that processing facility in general and historically have been enough to cover the cost of operating those processing facilities. Covers keeping the lights on, keeping the equipment up, hiring the staff, those types of things. The costs that are not really covered by the sale of those materials are, in general, the bulk of them are those transportation costs, the costs at the curb to get the truck to your home. Some of the other costs that are not covered by the sale of materials sometimes are the education component, you know, having somebody on staff to help people understand what can be recycled, what can't be recycled, issues they may have with the hauler, those types of things. And then the enforcement component, having someone who's, you know, able and willing to go out and sort of police your program to make sure that recyclables don't get into the trash and everyone's doing the right thing. So the system has several components. The sale of materials at MRFs, or material recovery facilities, your sorting facilities, those are covered by the sale of material, those costs. The other costs are not really covered in that system. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Very thoroughly. Good job. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Kim in Waupun. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I know, I live in the Fond du Lac County side of Waupun, and I pay $1.50 for my recyclable pickup on my electric water bill. And my question is does every county, small county, pay, or rural, pay a percentage on their electric bill towards recycling? And so my thought is why would, you know, the governor want to do this if everybody, in a sense, is paying for recycling through property tax or a percentage on, you know, like I said, for me, it's on my electric water bill. And I wouldn't have a problem paying, you know, if I have to pay for my own garbage pickup, which goes up every time the gas goes up. Now, when gas went up to $4 a gallon 3 years ago, my bill had jumped from $35 a quarter, $11 each month, to $60, and it never went down once the gas went down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to pay, so, and I understand that with the property tax, that a portion of that goes for garbage pickup in large cities. You know, I don't think they you guys can adjust for that. But if I'm paying for recycling and so is everybody else, would it not be a better idea to just add like a 25 cents extra to the bill for our smaller rural area?
Melissa?
And that's my question.
All right.
And I'll take my answer.
Thanks, Kim, for your call. Melissa?
And she, again, these are all good points. There are many ways that people pay for the recycling services, and a municipality might have it as part of a tax levy. So, in other words, the money that is sent from the state to offset recycling costs goes to the municipality, and they opt to then use that to offset some of their levy costs because they've built in the cost of collection services into their levy. Some may have a special assessment on their tax bill that outlines garbage and recycling services. And yet still others, like the woman who just called, it may be a part of a utility bill. So there's a lot of different ways that service can be paid for. The problem of a couple of things, we are already paying for recycling services by way of the $7 per ton tipping fee that's called the recycling fee. So we've got to make sure that we're using money appropriately and not raiding segregated funds for other purposes. If we can get that money to municipalities to help them offset the costs, that reduces what the users, the residents, have to pay. But as we look at this, you know, this is rather new, and if we want to try and change the system and look at other mechanisms for paying for the service, and municipalities currently have it in their levy, changing some of those, you know, sort of paperwork logistics and balancing budget logistics is very difficult between now and July 1 when the new budget takes place. So getting this type of information out, having these discussions, working with municipalities, making sure we've got the funding in place, all of these things are a part of that dialogue.
Jennifer, what do you think is the best way to pay for all of this?
I don't know if I would necessarily say that one way is better than the other as far as the different options that Melissa alluded to as far as the different ways that municipalities pay for recycling, the additional costs that the financial assistance from the state does not cover. But again, the key to me is that money that is being paid on solid waste disposal in the form of that $7 per ton in the recycling fees should certainly be used to offset the cost of recycling. As Melissa has mentioned, that's critical to have a logical approach to funding recycling in Wisconsin.
We go to Nichelle next from Baraboo. Hi, Nichelle.
Good morning. I wanted to share that our rural township, which is just east of the city of Baraboo, a town of about 10,000 residents, our rural township of about 700 residents, we regularly experience dumping here on our roadsides. And so our town supervisors have to go out with their personal vehicles and pick up appliances, televisions, computer monitors, and tires, and then haul them into a facility where we can drop them off. And then we as town taxpayers have to increase our town budget and tax all of us to pay for the dumping that goes on here. And it's not uncommon to find four appliances in a ditch or as many as 60 tires thrown down into a ravine along a road. So we already have a robust recycling program here, both in the city of Baraboo and in our rural township. We have weekly curbside pickup for garbage and twice a month recycling pickup all around the city of Baraboo, and we're still experiencing this kind of dumping. And our township isn't alone. The other rural townships surrounding the city of Baraboo experience the same, and I would guess that's probably a common problem throughout the state. So I would be really frightened to think about how much worse that dumping would get than it is now, and it's already a burden to us to have to come up with the money to pay for, you know, people's garbage that they won't be responsible for.
Doesn't it drive you crazy? You got to wonder about people who do this. They just don't think. How can you do something like that? Throw stuff, you know, in a ditch. Pardon?
And it is illegal, and we've all been asked by the town supervisors to be watchful and take license plate numbers and call the sheriff when we see it happening, but it's hard to catch people doing it. They're pretty clever about it.
Right. Melissa?
Ditch dumping, it's just abominable to think that people, and it's generally not the people living in the rural community doing that. It is probably from adjacent communities because, of course, no one's going to mess their own sort of litter box, so to speak. It's horrible, and she's absolutely right. Town supervisors, town clerks are out with their own vehicles, with their families, walking the ditches, picking this stuff up, and it's expensive for them. We really need to have convenience services that avoid these type of scenarios.
Right. I think we also may need updates on information. Maybe people believe because we've recycled for so long that we know exactly what we're supposed to do. We have an email from somebody who wants to know where she can recycle old children's car seats or tires or, you know, all kinds of things. Do we get information? Is there a way to get information, no matter where you live, as to where you can bring everything?
That's one of the programs that Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin has been developing and continues to populate with additional data. There is a website called recyclemorewisconsin.org, and the purpose of the website is to be a statewide resource. So if you move anywhere within the state or you're in a locale that does not have a strong recycling education message, so you're unfamiliar with how to recycle, that you go to a single website and learn how to recycle different materials. So that's something that we've been working on, and we continue to work on it. Right now, I will say that the site is not heavily populated, but we're working to get every municipality in the state listed there. So at the very least, you would have the phone number of the person to contact.
All right.
In your locale, but our hope is to have it populated with all of that type of data so that there is a single resource in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, I think people should do it right now. Do it today and help us out. It's recyclemorewisconsinaltogether.org.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Nichelle, for your call. Timothy in Oconomowoc. Hi, Timothy.
Hello.
Hi.
My name's Tim, and I was listening to your show, and I thought it was pretty cool. You know, I'm a truck driver, and I've hauled loads to Lewisport, Kentucky, you know, for aluminum. Mm-hmm. And over there in Boss, Missouri, there's a battery place that I've hauled, you know, truckloads of batteries over there. What they do is they grind them up and separate the plastic from the lead and separate the acid, you know, in the holding tank.
Uh-huh.
And, heck, I've also hauled truckload of tires down there to Mississippi. But what they do is they grind them up and they make a rubber mat, you know, for paper loads to haul paper out of, you know, Wisconsin and Kentucky and other southern states that make paper, you know. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that those little computers and the wires to the computers, there's a place over in Fort Wayne, Indiana, of all computer parts, you know, the keyboards.
Right.
It's called Onyx over in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And they take stuff like that and they recycle it, you know?
Yeah. So how do you find all of this? How do you get your truckload full, Timothy?
Well, my boss usually sends me to, you know, either a junkyard or another place. I've hauled ground up plastic in boxes. And this is like, you know, 2,500 pounds per pallet. And it's all recycled plastic. And what they do, some places they'll buy it. And they'll recycle it, and they'll make plastic sawhorses, you know, or
right.
plastic toolboxes, you know. But it's just my company, you know. I guess they get on the computer and stuff, and they, you know, find out which loads to get and stuff.
Right.
But it's amazing how much stuff that I've hauled, aluminum, copper, take, for instance, when I pick up a truckload of copper, I take it all the way to Leechdale, Pennsylvania. Now, that's an old copper mine place, but they still melt down the copper and, you know, remake new copper out of it. But that's Leechdale, Pennsylvania. And if you can get on a computer, look up for Hussey Copper over in Leechdale, Pennsylvania, you know, and you'll probably find out that she could sell truckloads there, because I took them like 45,000 pounds, you
Woo.
Know, one truckload.
Woo!
And Lewisport, Kentucky now, they buy aluminum, like, you know, your aluminum siding on your house.
Right.
Or they buy, you know, like cast aluminum, too. And there's different, see, in Lewisport, Kentucky, it's called Commonwealth. You know, that's Commonwealth buys aluminum. They got the happy face, the smiley face, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they recycle out of Lewisport, Kentucky. But they do have businesses, Commonwealth, up there in Indiana, too.
Hmm. Well, Jennifer, here's a guy who knows, really knows the business, huh?
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. And these are some fantastic examples of markets for recyclable materials. And I'm glad that that topic has been brought up, because while a lot of what he mentioned is outside of the state of Wisconsin, there are a number of industries right here in the state that do rely on the recyclables that we all collect and process for the feedstock for manufacturing new products. For instance, in northeastern Wisconsin, we have a very strong paper industry, which supplies countless jobs to residents of those areas. And here in Winnebago County, with our Brown and Ottagamie County recycling partners, we sell 30,000 tons of paper per year to paper mills in the state of Wisconsin. And again, they rely on that feedstock to create new tissue products and paper products, as well as cardboard. There are also industries in Wisconsin for recycling glass in the Milwaukee area, several plastic companies in the state that buy the plastic bottles that we generate. So even looking at the state of Wisconsin, there's a very strong infrastructure and industry of businesses that rely on recyclable materials.
Yeah. Timothy, be in touch with us further if you would. We are interested in what you have to say. So, and the extent of the recycling things that you do, that's very, very interesting. I still think we need more information about all of this, Melissa, don't you?
Excuse me, I didn't catch what you said.
We need to know more of this, of all these things that can be recycled, and how you get in touch with guys like Timothy or his company to make sure that all of this happens.
Well, it is a complex system, and when one of the previous callers wanted, you know, sort of talked about the sale of recyclables, really connecting with from going from your recycling processing facilities to all those end users. That's where folks like our truck driver friend come in, and there are places all over the United States. But as Jennifer said, we've got a really strong industry in Wisconsin. So
right, that's good to know. Good to know. We go next. We need to pause and we'll return. We're talking about recycling in the state of Wisconsin. There's been some controversy and concern about what would happen to the program as a result of the governor's budget. And people are hashing out now what amendments will be made to the budget when it comes to recycling in our fair state. Our phone number, a couple lines are open. We've been crowded here, so get your place in line, 800-486-8655. You won't be in line. You'll get a phone through right away. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have an email from John, the retired recycling manager from Dane County, who said on the question of audits, the Legislative Audit Bureau did a formal audit a number of years ago, and every odd-numbered year, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau puts out a lengthy document on this program. This year's report is found at a link, and we will put that on our Facebook page, too. They got all kinds of information generating from today's programs. We go to Bob in Eau Claire next. Hi, Bob.
Yes. Excuse me. Good morning.
Hi, Bob.
We're having the wrong conversation, Kathleen.
The wrong conversation? Why?
Yeah. The conversation should be about charging the manufacturers a fee for getting rid of the waste products of their products. So now a lot of states have a fee that if you get a bottle of whatever, a beverage of any kind, in a lot of states, that bottle will give you a nickel or a dime, depending on the state, or in a couple of states, it's 2 cents to take it back, and you get it anywhere. It's a deposit, and so you get back what you paid. So you've paid the inflated price, whatever that might be, for the product, but then you get your deposit back when you take back these plastic bottles. We used to have that when we had glass bottles when we were kids. And you'd never find a glass bottle laying around in a ditch because when we were kids, we were scouring the ditches to get the bottles because they were worth money.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone away from that. We have gone into a throwaway society, and we need to get away from being a throwaway society to a recovering society. Instead of creating new landfills year after year, and trust me, I've seen landfills. In my colored past, I've driven a garbage truck, and I've been to landfills. Landfills are interesting places, trust me. And if you've never visited one, you really do need to go. But what we need to do is we need to start a campaign to put a deposit on every item in the stream, in the manufacturing stream, and then also in the recovery stream. And that would eventually reduce the burden on communities to dispose of people's unwanted trash.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call. What do you think of that idea, Jennifer?
Yeah, I mean, that is certainly a program or how recycling programs are operated. And I think about 10 to 12 states in the United States have deposit legislation or bottle bills, as they're commonly known, where a nickel or a dime or in some cases a couple of cents are charged per each container. And, I mean, those are very effective ways of recovering materials. As the caller indicated, you rarely find, deposit containers in ditches or along roadsides, because if they're there, an entrepreneurial person will come along and pick them up and redeem the deposit. So we do find that states that operate those types of programs have very, very high recovery rates of 80% or higher for containers, which would be higher than what we experience in the state of Wisconsin. So they do work very well for containers. They have not been used, to my knowledge, in the United States, though, for paper materials. So for, the other two-thirds of what we recycle curbside in Wisconsin is newspapers, magazines, office paper, cardboard, things of that nature. So for those types of materials, a deposit program is difficult to administer and may not work effectively.
And what about all the other? That's interesting. Two-thirds of what we recycle is newspapers and paper, huh?
Yeah, on average, about two-thirds of recyclables are paper products, and approximately one-third are cans and bottles.
And what about all the other things? Should there? I don't know how you would get a deposit system on computer parts or copper or tires or all the other things that we discard.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of is getting into another model that we certainly support, which would be a product stewardship model. And we do have that presently for electronics in the state of Wisconsin. What product stewardship creates is a shared responsibility for materials. So not only the consumers and local governments who currently have the bulk of the responsibility, but also manufacturers of the products, the retailers, et cetera, all have a role in managing the item at the end of its life. So for electronics in the state, our program is designed that manufacturers need to meet a certain target, which is approximately 80% of their sales of electronics for a prior year. And so they need to demonstrate that they've recycled that amount or face shortfall fees. So there's a motivation for manufacturers to have a direct role in recycling electronics. And so that's a great model that we could also replicate for other materials.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Bob, very much for your interesting call. Kyle in Cottage Grove is next. Hi, Kyle.
Hi. As usual, thank you for a great program. I was curious on, do they know how many barrels of oil are saved per year from recycling plastic, and whether, being the devil's advocate, maybe that might have something to do with maybe it not being as much a non-budget issue or a budget issue as more of a issue of if we're not recycling, then we're using more petroleum and we're giving more money to big oil, which is, you know, backing to a large extent the Republican Party. And I'll take my answers off air.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
Melissa?
Well, and Kyle brings up a good point. All of our plastics, of course, are petroleum-derived. And anytime we recycle a petroleum-derived product, we need less petroleum-derived product. I don't have what that is in barrels of oil. But I think I do have one fact, and it gives you, you know, just you have to pause for a moment, is that Americans use 2.5 million plastic bottles per hour.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
Wow.
And so definitely reducing the amount, and this is one thing I've always, when I go out and do presentations, is just because we can and are able to recycle a ton of plastic water bottles, does that mean we need to produce a ton of plastic water bottles? So waste reduction is always really important. It is the first step, and it's the first in the three R's, reduce, reuse, recycle. So I don't have that number. It would be great to have it. If we can get it, I can send it to you, Kathleen, and you can post it.
Sure, please.
See if we can get someone out there might have that number, but it is an important link.
That's just an amazing number.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't go on. You know, I've got to take that in some way. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Tim in Porterfield. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I always thought it would have been a good idea to have some kind of legislation that makes all gas stations a drop-off center for recyclables. Because it would have the accessibility so people wouldn't dump. And it'd kind of be like the ExxonMobil's could thank us for making them rich.
Jennifer.
Yeah, I mean, that would certainly be a place where recyclables are generated. I see so often, residents getting gas and cleaning out their car, and they have plastic bottles and aluminum cans and other readily recyclable materials. And that's definitely an area that we could see improvement at, is having, you know, more recycling opportunities available at gas stations and service stations. There are a few examples where I have seen of progressive communities and or gas stations where they do have recycling receptacles available, but it's certainly more rare than commonplace. And so that would be definitely an area where we could expand our recycling collection opportunities and capture more materials.
It'd be a great way for a business to do the right thing and maybe get some loyal customers, right? We can be a recycling center for you.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim, very much for the call. We go next to Jim in West Allis. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Kathleen, I got a question for Melissa, and this may have been covered before because I've been jumping in and out of the car on errands, but as a former municipal official, I've been retired now for a number of years, but I seem to recall that one of the things that we used to calculate is the amount of recycling that you take out of the mainstream lessens your tipping fees for, you know, as a municipality for your traditional garbage. But as you said before, people will start to throw their recyclables in with the regular garbage. That's going to increase the cost to the municipality for its tipping fees. The other thing is, as I recall, we used to calculate about, as a result of recycling, about 20%, we could save about 20% of the, the landfill. And if you're filling up the landfills faster, you end up having to build more landfills. And I know landfills are extremely expensive to build. So to me, that's being penny wise and pound foolish.
Jennifer.
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, every ton of recyclables that we can avoid putting in the landfill, that's what we would term avoided landfill disposal costs, and so that is a cost savings to communities. It's sometimes difficult to ascertain because it's not money that's spent; it's a money that's avoided being spent. So it's difficult to sometimes quantify that precisely. But and certainly the cost to build a new landfill, as well as even just the time that's required, the permitting process, and that for if you wanted to actually site a brand new landfill in the state of Wisconsin, it takes 5-10 years to do so. So it's certainly not a proposition that is easily attained.
Thank you, Jim, very much for the call. Did you want to add to that, Melissa?
Yeah, I think what the caller was getting at is the lessened cost, and in some of those costs avoided in disposal. And since 2000 to 2009, curbside recyclables was just over 4 million tons of material. You know, if you go with an average rate of, let's say, $45 a ton for disposal, those municipalities have saved about $22 million in disposal costs. And that's just a generalized number, and it's, there are a lot of variables that come into it. But he is right. If you're not going to have it recycled, you're going to pay for it in landfill disposal costs.
Right, yeah. Rod in northern Wisconsin. Hi, Rod.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make a couple points. Like before on the farm, if you needed motor oil or hydraulic oil or whatever, you went to the local feed mill, which they're rapidly disappearing because of the little farms disappearing. But anyhow, you would have a 2.5-gallon plastic container, which all virtually lasts forever. You'd go to their bulk oil and you'd fill it up and pay for the oil, and you'd come back and just keep doing that. And now, for convenience sake, they claim the reason is everybody, when you buy the oil, you buy those quart plastic containers. Well, up here in the northern part of the state, they don't make it easily accessible. You got to drive 7-8 miles to a recycling deposit center and throw these, but they won't take them. They won't take anything that had petroleum products, and they're usually number ones or number twos. So if there's a way of getting back to, the consumer has to learn this too, because right. It's not just the industry, but if you, like that previous caller said about making the corporation responsible, if it's Mobil, Exxon, or Pennzoil, or Quaker State, Valvoline, whatever, I don't know if you understand what I'm...
Oh, I understand. Yeah, I'm reading you.
Okay, I'll take your response off the air.
All right, Rod, thanks very much for the call. Who wants it, Jennifer, Melissa?
Go ahead, Jennifer.
I would agree that, there's definitely ways that this can, benefit and... I guess, Melissa, I was thinking that you would maybe take this one.
Oh, okay. Well, I think what he was getting at was, again, getting back to the concept of product stewardship, extended producer responsibility. A manufacturer makes something, and as a result of that making that and selling it to a wholesaler, they've made a profit. The wholesaler then sells it to the retailer and makes a profit. The retailer then makes a profit by selling it to us. Nowhere in that system has anyone included the cost of end-of-life care for that product, as the caller was referring to. Those oil bottles, which are difficult to recycle because of the oil derivative inside and the dark plastic container, it doesn't fit in a standard recycling stream. So how do we manage it? Well, the people who manufactured it and sold it, they're out of the picture. They walked away with the profit.
Right.
we need to find a better way to ensure continuity throughout that system.
Yeah. Well, what an informative hour. Thank you both so much for being with us. And we'll continue to watch this story carefully and learn more about how we can be better stewards. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks to Melissa Johnson, chair of the Wisconsin County Solid Waste Management Association, Jennifer Semereau, president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, recycling specialist for Winnebago County. And once again, thank you for all of your phone calls. You're just, I should tell you this every day, but you're just a wonderful audience because you always know about things and you're concerned about issues and gave us a lot of information. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks to Rhonda Fanning as well for on-air production here in our downtown Milwaukee studios. We'll be with you again tomorrow from 9 until 11, and there are great conversations ahead. We have posted things on our Facebook page. It's the Kathleen Dunn Show. We're also getting close to, what's the deal on our listeners? 2,000. Once we get Rhonda doesn't know this yet. We're going to give away books when we get to 2,000. I think we did that at 1,000. Thanks for listening.